Good morning, everyone.
Morning. Morning.
So, Psalm 119. 6 pages worth. It's quite a long one. It is actually the longest chapter in the whole Bible. And it's made up of 22 stanzas, 8 verses each, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's quite interesting, but some people have said that kind of think they that represents sort of A to Z, almost like a whole breadth of God's word is so all-encompassing. It covers everything. It's the world summed up in God's word. So there's a lot in it. So by no means is this anywhere close to the whole psalm. It's quite unique, I thought, because some psalms are sort of snapshots almost in time, and they're sort of maybe one particular experience that the psalmist would maybe write down in one go, and maybe it's one particular experience they're going through at that particular time. I don't think we're 100% sure who wrote Psalm 119. Some people think it's King David or Daniel. I'm not sure that we totally need to know, but that's maybe somebody like that when you're picturing who this person is. But I find it quite interesting in that this isn't maybe just one snapshot in time, but it looks more like a sort of journey, because he goes through all sorts of different emotions. He describes all sorts of different experiences. Maybe he didn't write it in one go, I don't know, but it was quite powerful, I thought, because at times he's filled with praise for God's word, and I think that's what it's most well known for. It's a celebration of God's word. Chapter 4, verse 14, "In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much and in all riches." So he really delights in God's word. He puts so much emphasis on it, and he celebrates it throughout the whole psalm. But there's also times when he describes moments of desperation and real anxiety. Verse 25 and 28, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." So he goes through real trials, describes this. But he also, when he reflects on his trouble, he often pleads God. He pleads God, "Give me understanding, give me wisdom." And through any trials and tribulations, he always comes back to God and his word. So he pleads for understanding and teaching a lot. You know, it's a prayer of beseeching God as well as praising his word. Verse 27, "Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works." So there's 4 things then I wanted to kind of bring out this morning. So to summarize, first one is we're called to pray, meditate, remember, and obey his word. Second one is that God is actually the one who teaches us and gives us understanding and of his word through his Holy Spirit, and it imparts wisdom to all. The third one is affliction and trouble are to actually teach us and point us towards God and his word. And the fourth one is God can and will enlarge our hearts if we allow him. So those are the 4 things that I got when I was reading through Psalm 119, but it seems like a lot more than that. So by no means is this exhaustive. So the first one then, we are called to pray, meditate, remember, and obey his word. So that's kind of 4 things within that. But I really was struck by what he described as what he was doing. He kept talking about, "I will do this, I will do that." And that's a guide for us in what he was praying for and what he was doing. And then also my second point is about what God does. So there's kind of almost a separation, I think, in what he was doing and what pattern we should follow. But then also a reminder of what God then does for us. And I think that's important for us to kind of understand. So this is kind of for our devotions, for our walk, praying, meditating, remembering, and obeying. So I've heard before about memorizing scripture, and Steve is big into that, and that this is actually a pattern in here. You know, it actually says to us, if I can find the scripture, verse 16, I will delight in your statutes, I will not forget your word. So I'll read a few verses here that I think are really good for this point. So verse 15, 16, 18, and 97. I will meditate on your precepts, and I will fix my eyes on your ways. 16, I will delight in your statutes, I will not forget your word. 18, open your eyes, open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And verse 97, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. So those are just some examples, and it's throughout the whole psalm that he talks about it is his constant meditation. He talks about rising before the dawn, he talks about staying up or rising before the night watches, and at midnight I will praise your name. And it's a constant thing for him that he meditates on God's word, and I think that's a pattern for us, that it is not a case of just reading, but actually using it as a weapon throughout our day, if you like, so that we can pick, say, a verse and just that day just think about it over and over again and use that as a weapon. So it's, of all the four, this was one that really challenged me, you know, because it's a higher calling, that we would actually meditate on his word, that it would be what we think about more than other things. And I was really struck by something I found out recently about, of all things, Google. And that Google, it's a search engine, we all know, it's like Google it or whatever. But whenever you're using basically the internet, or it's usually through Google, that it actually reinforces any bias you might have, because it tracks what you read or click on or whatever, and it'll know, it'll have all that history, and it'll bring up those things more and more often. So basically, this guy was talking about it, it narrows your focus, and it'll just bring up things that you kind of agree with, and it reinforces everything you think about in a sort of biased way. And I was really struck by that, because, you know, I read a lot of online newspapers and things like that. I was really struck by, you know, it's, what is shaping my thoughts? What is shaping what I think about? Am I, you know, is it this myself and my own little bias that will constantly be not never challenged, or is it actually God's word that I meditate and think about? So I was really challenged by that. So another couple of verses for us, 9 through to 11. Again, these are really, really powerful ones. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So again, it's that process of reading God's word, actually remembering God's word. So I think we can all think of times whenever a scripture has come back to us, and we've actually been encouraged by that and been able to use that. And it just says here that, you know, by guarding it according to your word, you know, we can keep our way pure in our hearts. You know, I have stored up in your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And I was really struck by almost the difference between, you know, our hearts and our heads. And, you know, he talks about storing up word in our hearts, and quite often, you know, I think I've spoken about this before, last time I did something on God's word, you know, that our hearts, you know, are a reflection of us, and what we do most of the time is actually just act on instinct, and it's a reflection of our hearts. And, you know, we can't always be thinking about, I think our hearts reflect our character better than our minds in a way. And it was interesting that he was storing up the word in his heart rather than just his mind. And I think that's a key difference. For example, I was reminded of James 4, where do the wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So I was really struck by whenever we're looking at and reading this word, remembering, meditating on it, that we should remember in our hearts rather than just our heads. And actually use it as a sword. You know, God's word is a sword against the enemy. There's another verse I'd like to read out. So verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. That's almost a warning that delight comes from our hearts. We need to write the word on our hearts and use it as a weapon, or we would perish in that affliction. So I think he was really, again, that was a reminder of his situation, that he actually recalled God's word and it helped him in his time of trouble. So that was number one. Number two then, so God is the one who teaches us and gives us understanding of his word through his Holy Spirit. So if I want to turn again to a few verses, 12. Blessed are you, Lord, teach me your statutes. And then again, 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And then a couple of other examples. I kind of looked through for words teach and understand, and there were more than a dozen, there were lots, and I kind of stopped at that point when I got through them all and thought, pick through my favourite ones. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. So we can see, again, there's a few examples of him meditating on God's word, but we see that he actually then prays to God, teach me, give me understanding, teach me. You know, he says it repeatedly throughout the whole psalm, and that's a pattern for us, in that it's not just enough to meditate, but God is actually the one who teaches it to us and makes us understand it. And there is a difference between us reading God's word and our hearts truly understanding it and being transformed by it. God's Holy Spirit grants us wisdom and understanding that reading, that just reading, does not necessarily give us. So I think that's a pattern for our prayer whenever we're reading. It's a pattern for, I think it's a bit of a mystery. It's not a recipe for if you pray this prayer, God will give you understanding. I think it's a promise of God that he will, when we ask for wisdom, give it to us. But it is a sort of, it's a waiting game. We're called to wait on God, and it's a bit of a mystery, I think, for when God gives us his Holy Spirit and his understanding. But I think we're called to be faithful in that patience and waiting, rather than saying, ordering God, this is when you need to give it to me. I think there's a good example of how we know that God is the one that teaches us, and that through his Holy Spirit, and that is the important thing rather than just head knowledge. And that's how he treats little children. So they don't understand everything the same way we would understand something, but they're extremely precious in God's sight because they just believe in him with their hearts. So it's not a case of them being scholars and theological and knowing everything, but they have that faith and belief in their hearts, and that's what God finds so precious in them. So this is good news for us, I think, because we don't all need to be scholars, although scholars are mightily used by God in their own way, certainly, but we don't all need to be understand everything of God's word at all times for God to use us and be pleased with us. But it's actually our hearts and how we be childlike almost and just have faith in him and almost sit around his feet and listen to him. So like I said, there's no recipe or formula for us to understand, but it is it's a waiting game, it's a patience game, and if we're faithful, God is faithful to us. So 130 is another inspiring verse. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Again, so it's not a case of us being scholarly in everything, but if God unfolds his word to us, it gives understanding to everybody. So again, I think that is almost looking at our hearts. You know, our hearts, you don't go to school and study sort of things about your heart. It is about your mind and things like that. But I heard somebody speaking about, I can't remember what the topic was, but he kind of recalled about how you don't need to have to understand everything at all times, because even the simple can express what God means to them, and it's not in a fancy way almost. It's they can give a testimony of what God is in their lives without it having to be an intellectual explanation of it, but it's something of the heart, and everybody I think is capable of that. I think the word that sums it up is revelation, rather than something that you learn just ourselves, although that is that's one side of the coin in terms of our meditation, but the other side of the coin is God's revelation, and that again is a little bit mysterious, at least to me, but that is essentially what brings that understanding and wisdom, and that's not something that you can learn in yourself. So revelation, I think, is a good summary of what he's praying for. He's praying, give me revelation, open my eyes, teach me, give me understanding. And there's lots, I've only given 6 or 7 verses, but you can just read through for yourself. And again, there's another, if you don't believe me, John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So again, Jesus himself says, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. And I've seen it myself. I can think of times when, you know, I've done storying courses before. Some of you have known. And the whole idea behind storying courses is that, you know, that's how Jesus spoke. He spoke in parables and stories. And the idea is then we speak to one another. We learn parables ourselves and just speak them to one another. I know I've tried it a few times. I'm not very good at it, but I've been in those classes, and I was really struck by how it's not just the person at the front speaking. This is the lesson. This is what, you know, I myself have gone through this. And I feel like this is what I have learned. But that's one thing for me to speak that out. But it's another thing for you to learn that. You know, you could sit here and listen to, right, it's God's revelation, I need to pray for this, but ultimately God is the one that will reveal in our own hearts. It's just like our own salvation. You know, you can hear the words, you know, we've all heard it, but unless you respond, unless God changes our hearts, it won't come to any effect. And I love those storying classes I've done, because it's about letting people, it's about, I suppose, making room for the Holy Spirit to move. And I think that's kind of where this, especially in John 14:16, leads us. So the third thing then that I saw as I was reading through, so then these last two, I hope then just can be really encouraging for us and also something just to remember. So the psalmist goes through a lot, or at least records experiences of lots of affliction in his life. So he expresses real distress. There's a couple of examples. He's slandered, he's plotted against princes. So maybe these are people in authority in the country, seek to destroy him. I've already read out a couple of examples. My soul clings to the dust, my soul melts away for sorrow. But again, there's such a useful lesson in that affliction. He remains faithful to God. It's almost like there's each one of these verses is made up of two lines, and all the lines that relate to affliction, the second line is always about God and his word and how God is faithful, and how he himself gives testimony to how he has overcome affliction. And that lesson then is for us. So verse 75, sorry, I'll jump a bite here if you're in your Bibles, but you can try and listen. But verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Your statutes have been my songs, verse 54. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my surgeon. 55, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. 56 and 57, this blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. 141 and 143, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. So I'll just read through those again. 75, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my surgeon, which from my understanding is a sort of wrestling or struggling, journeying sort of state. So your statutes have been my songs in the house of my battling. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. So there's quite a lot to take in there, but there's a lot of powerful messages in there about how he was in the depths of despair at times, but he saw that as God being faithful to him, which is a real mindset that is quite incredible, to think that we, whenever we're going through bad times, that's actually God being faithful to us. That's an expression of his faithfulness. And again, that's a bit of a mystery to me, because that's not easily understood. I don't really understand that, but the psalmist seemed to understand it, and seemed to understand that it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. So that's a real testimony from him, that to encourage us that those afflictions are actually his faithfulness. And that's a bit mind-boggling for me to understand, but I think that is a word we should write on our hearts, and again use that, store it up in the harvest times. You know, we should store up God's word in our hearts, almost like a harvest, and when the winter comes, use that as food, use that when things are tough. And again, he often says, I did not forget your word, I did not forget your law, I will keep your law, I promise to keep your words, your commandments are my delight, I will not forget your precepts. Again, those were paired with all those times he was in affliction. He pairs that with, I do not forget your law, I do not forget your precepts, I delight in your commandments. So again, that's a real encouragement, I think, for us in our faith, if there's anyone afflicted here today or feels like they're under the cosh, that is an expression of God's faithfulness to us, that he would use that to teach us about his word, and to encourage us to even if it's just that one verse, that your favourite verse, just remember that and use that in your battles. So last one, so number one, two and three are, we're called to pray, meditate, remember and obey. Second one is about God is the one that teaches us and gives us understanding, and he's faithful to give us wisdom if we ask. Third one, affliction and trouble are to teach us and point us to God and his word. And the fourth, and it's just on one verse, thankfully I don't have to read out a bunch for you to remember, it's just on one verse, and it's about God will enlarge our hearts if we allow him. So I've been talking a little bit about writing the word and storing the word up in our hearts, and I think some of us can feel like the heart is often damaged or wounded or small or not capable of much. So this is a verse for you, verse 31, 32. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. So again, that's really inspiring to me, that God is the one that can enlarge our hearts. If you're sitting there thinking, okay, I need to wait on God for him to give my heart understanding, and you feel my heart is not too much, but God is actually capable and will enlarge our hearts. And again, that is separate to a head full of knowledge, and I need to be a scholar, I need to be this. Well, it's actually all about the heart. That's what God looks at. And again, I think that is something that, again, we can take away from today. God is wanting to enlarge our hearts. And I hope that's encouraging. So if we're believers, our hearts have already been softened and renewed. Otherwise, we wouldn't be believers, because our hearts were hardened when we were in that sinful state. So we've already experienced something of God softening our hearts. But perhaps now, you know, our emotions may hold us back. Perhaps if we lack love for our brothers and sisters or the lost, or lack love for God and his word, he can make room. He can make more room. He knocks at the door, and we need only open. Because his heart is so much bigger. And we know King David himself was a man after God's own heart. So if we have a broken heart or something, a wounded heart, again, like Steph's been saying for the last few weeks and some of these healing conferences, call for someone to pray just for your heart. Pray for healing. The heart, I think, has a better memory than the head sometimes, and again, we need God's Holy Spirit to mend that. And we were at there's a healing night, I think the introductory one before the two Saturdays a few weeks ago, and there's a few testimonies from a few folks here, and I was really inspired by, you know, the ones that we're talking about. Their healing was of their heart, was of, you know, on the inside. It wasn't necessarily a physical healing, but again, they had a testimony of salvation, but it was more than that. God didn't just stop there. There was a lot of baggage that came through, and it was God dealing and healing their hearts. So those are my four. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.